Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
HagmanReport.com. That's our news information analysis page. HagmanandHagman.com. That's where you want to bookmark for the show itself. Platforms. I want to thank Global Star Radio Network. God bless each and every one of you at Global Star. Todd and his wife, man, they work 24/7. They're incredible people. Global Star, thank you so much for carrying our program. Blog Talk Radio, just a tremendous group of people there as well. Got to know them somewhat personally. Great people. BTR, Blog Talk Radio. And of course, YouTube Live. Want to mention as well, don't forget, the time is going so fast, so quickly, folks. Awaken to the Shaken is coming up May 5th and 6th. I don't know if this is the only or perhaps the last conference I'm going to do. I don't know. But Awakening the Shaken, I'm going to be talking about, personally me, I'm going to be talking about two items. The human trafficking, child trafficking investigation, courtroom ready exhibits going to be presented. And also the infiltration, the Islamic infiltration into the United States. Two separate topics, two separate presentations. And then Joe's going to have some information as well. Paul Begley, of course, Russ Dizdar. That's a keeper. And John Robertson. So if you have a chance, the event is free. The only thing you have to do is register because it's filling up. Okay, we have to... We're not in charge of this. Pastor Paul Begley and his wife are. But it's my understanding that you need to register right away or soon. So, because it's filling up and they've got to have a number, for the venue. If you're within a day's drive, please consider going. It's going to be a very limited, very, very limited, very focused, intense 2 days. 2 days. That's it. Friday evening and Saturday, all day. Plenty of breaks in between. A lot to get into tonight. A lot to get into this episode. And a lot of things taking place. You know, we're on the brink of war. Yesterday, Joe, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, we did, and folks, if you go to our YouTube channel, check it out, too. Open up the description box. Let us know what you think of this. What we did was we timestamped the video. So, for example, 8 minutes in, he's talking about this, or 15 minutes in, talking about that. All you have to do is click on the time link, and it'll take you right to the section of the video. So if you're doing research, for example, your own research, this will help you out. And we intend to continue this process with our videos. So our intent, and this is, and I want to say thank you. This is by you, by your support, by your financial support. This is just one way where we can have the people to do this and we can focus our efforts to get the information out as quickly as possible. Lady or Studio Dog, we're getting deliveries in preparation for the conference. And about this time, and regular listeners know about this time, for whatever reason, we're on that late delivery schedule. So if you hear her yipping, she's in my office. So it'll be a muffled bark. She's in my office, and that leads out to the parking area. So anyway, she'll wander in here at some point. But nonetheless, you've got North Korea preparing for war. Peter Vincent Pry, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who is big time in the CIA under Presidents Reagan, Bush, knows what he's talking about, saying, look, this ain't good. Give a listen to that and view to that segment, program segment. Also, I'd ask one more thing, and then we're going to get into the news. We're going to be posting a survey. It's important. This is going to help us with one of our sponsors. We're going to be posting a survey. Please take it. Okay? Please take it. That'll go up probably tomorrow. Just take the survey. It'd take you 2 minutes. No big deal. But it does, I've been asked to do this, and I'm asking you to do this. Participate in the survey. You'll know. If it doesn't make any sense to you, you'll know. You guys are smart. You guys are very intelligent. That's all I'll say. All right. Where do we start? The show tonight, we're going to have Brendan House on to talk about that, Jabbar, right? Jabber. What's his name? That moron that,
I don't remember the guy's name.
You know,
he was charged.
He was charged, yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah.
With terroristic threats. And you know something? And this is something that, I found extremely interesting. There was we definitely want to ask Brandon about this. It's my understanding that the police observed him before he entered the conference area speeding and driving recklessly. In and of itself, no, so what? Wait a minute, though. What does that suggest? Making a statement like that the papers that go to the district attorney or the prosecutor's office, when a law enforcement agency makes a statement like that, what does that suggest? That does suggest, if you ask me, prior surveillance. Think about it. How would they know this guy was acting erratically, driving erratically, before he made the threats and before he made the initial contact at that conference venue? If you don't know what I'm talking about, April 9th was the day. It was Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it was a conference by Brennan House and the Iranian pastor, Sharam Hadian. I don't have my notes on that, but from memory, and of course, this was not an anti-Muslim rally. This was just merely a Christian church service where Pastor Hadian was talking about Islam. So, but what really stuck out in my mind was, yeah, they arrested him for, or charged him with terroristic threats. Finally. And folks, I do believe in my heart of hearts, it was our audience. It was you. Your calls, your emails, because I received a lot of people sent me emails saying, in fact, I got one letter today saying, I contacted the attorney general, or I think it was the attorney general, right, of South Dakota. Another said I contacted the sheriff's office. So I truly believe it was our audience that were responsible for the charges. Now, the other thing, the other side of this too, is they put him out, they let him go on bail for $2,500. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a case involving a firearm, in this case multiple firearms, combined with terroristic threats, where a bail amount, and anyone in the court system, folks, you know, if you're involved in the court system, $2,500. You might as well say ROR, because that's insane. But nonetheless, he was charged, so that's good. So more on that by Brendan House. But then we've got all of the geopolitical things. You still have Syria that's percolating away. You've got North Korea, which again, I refer back to Dr. Peter Vincent Pry from yesterday. You've got a lot of things going on in between. You've got domestic violence Ann Coulter. Again, not going to speak at Berkeley. You're telling me about this before, Joe. There are movements taking place here in the United States that are striking at our soft underbelly, our moral and cultural undergirdings of this country. Not good. Not good at all. Okay. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's get into it here.
Well, Ann Coulter, as you said, cancels her speech at UC Berkeley. And she is the one who canceled this speech plan for this week after it was canceled by Berkeley initially. Then she vowed that she was going to speak regardless if she was invited or not. Was going to do so in the plaza. And it looked, even yesterday, there were a number of articles about the mayor of Berkeley and his ties to the anti-fascist group and other violent left-wing organizations. And we talked about an article on there yesterday that said they believe that there was going to be violence at Berkeley tomorrow, whether or not Ann Coulter spoke. But what it appears happened here is that the two conservative groups that were part of the school stopped sponsoring her when she said she was going to be coming and speaking outside of the invitation from Berkeley. And she said, I looked over my shoulder and my allies had joined the other team. So we will hear more on that as she's scheduled to be on Sean Hannity's show tonight. But will there still be clashes at Berkeley? Many believe yes, there will still be the fights from rallies, and there will be violence. But we will see. And there's the North Korea situation. We continue to see headlines. Hawaii threat now. This is on Drudge. Kim readies for war. These are the same headlines we've been seeing for weeks. They were talking about the threat Hawaii faced weeks ago. There was also a meeting today at the White House where President Trump met with all 100 senators to talk about the possibility of war and conflict with North Korea. And there was also a few drills today, terror drills, one in New York City, one in Washington, D.C. We've been following those this week, and the D.C. terror drills, they say they're preparing for complex terror attacks where the type of terror attacks where something is set off or something happens, and then once the first responders get there, another terror attack is launched either at the first responders or at a separate location in order to gain maximum confusion and to divert resources from one area to another. And then there was a nuclear attack drill in Manhattan today. And some are asking, is this the preparation for a potential conflict with North Korea? I would have to say no. But who knows? These drills, they're done frequently. Not these specific drills, but drills are done frequently. And many times when drills are conducted, real events do transpire when these drills are conducted. But thankfully, that wasn't the case today. And it seems that these two drills went off without any real incidents. So that's good. So have we learned anything new about North Korea? There's an interesting article on Fox that talks about North Korea's soldiers, a closer look at the military's fake capabilities. It's been rumored that some of the missiles and weapons that have been showcased by North Korea have been used more for propaganda than for actual battle-ready weapons. And the article goes on to point out a few inconsistencies with the soldiers carrying weapons and with the missiles that are paraded around, that they're actually prototypes and not real missiles. And then the soldiers carrying guns look like they have some kind of projectiles at the ends. And there is no, according to experts, there are no reasons for them to have these, and there's no practical applications. So, you know, what are we seeing? Is this a show of force with real weaponry, or is this a tool for propaganda? Whether that matters or not, I don't know. But it looks like they're pushing, you know, for a conflict with North Korea, and that pushing is continuing not only in the media, but on both sides of the aisle, from the U.S. and from North Korea.
You know, I was talking to Steve Quayle about this today. We are both, we're working together, Steve and I, contacting all of our sources, trying to determine exactly what's taking place with respect to North Korea. By the way, Steve Quayle and Tom Horner are going to be on tomorrow night. And this, Steve asked me to mention this because he feels, and he told me what this is going to be about. Of course, it's going to be, John's going to be doing the write-up, John Robertson, our program director, is going to be doing the write-up for tomorrow. I can guarantee you, folks, you've got to tell a friend, tell a family member about tomorrow night. And of course, you can go on HagmanReport.com, click on the link for tomorrow's show. But it's going to be a fabulous show. And speaking of John Robertson, John's going to be joining Joe and our guest for the couple of segments there while I step out. So John Robertson, program director, is going to be joining Joe and interviewing our second hour guest, or actually the second segment guest. And we got a lot of good things. Thank you for your support. Thanks to your support, we have a lot of good things happening with John Robertson and the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Just a critically important team player, and a guy that I really, this guy works like 24/7. And one thing I want to get into before the bottom of the hour, in case you haven't seen this, you remember all the hullabaloo about the Center for Medical Progress, their investigation into Planned Parenthood for the selling of body parts. Well, you know, Center for Medical Progress has been and is under indictment for, of course, noncompliance with the all-state or all-parties consent state rules with respect to wiretapping. Yes, I said wiretapping. Okay. Now, that said, Dr. Mary Gatter, the Planned Parenthood senior executive who infamously was caught on tape saying, "I want a Lamborghini," while discussing and arranging the sale of body parts of aborted babies, of murdered babies, was, ready for this, caught again. This time she was talking about, they were negotiating price for livers and hearts of murdered babies. Dr. Mary, I want a Lamborghini Gatter.
How was she caught?
LifeNews.com gets into that. It's, again, caught. I'm going to give you more information about this, but, again, on video, and, you know, what's that?
Is it going to matter?
Well, you know, is it going to matter?
Is it going to affect any change? Or are there going to be, do you see a criminal investigation being launched? Do you see anything other than?
Okay, here's, you know, nothing against you. I don't like questions like that because is it going to matter? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's obviously a crime.
Yeah, so let's report it. Because, but see, here's the thing, Joe, and
well, they made last time, they made the issue about the, you know, the illegal wiretapping and not the actual.
Right. But is it going to matter? If we allow that question to come out of our mouths, does it matter? Will it matter? Then you know what? We're never going to get a damn thing done. That's why I don't like that question. Will it matter? Will it make a difference? What the hell kind of question is that? If it's wrong, let's expose it, whether it matters or not.
Well,
because the blood is not on our hands.
It is being exposed, and these people have exposed it.
So we collect the information, and we put the pedal to the metal.
But that doesn't make it. I mean, it makes a difference. But
we can't prosecute the murderers, in my view, individually.
Will it matter? Because will it matter?
I don't know.
To the
but it's not our job. I don't know. It's not our. It's not our job. It's not our job. Because a police officer. Well, if I arrest him, will it matter? I don't know.
It's already been exposed. I'm not saying will it matter if there's exposure or not? Will it matter in the minds of the people who come across it and learn about what's happening? I mean, will it make a difference Will there be any changes because of what was said?
I don't know. You know what? If it doesn't, look, all we do is we collect the information, we collect the evidence, we collect the, put together the evidence, and we put it out there. If it doesn't matter, I can, at the end of my life, I can look at God and say, God, I did my best. And whether he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, or, gee, you should have tried harder, I don't know what he's going to say. But I'll tell you one thing. If I operated my life, my business, my investigations on, would it matter? Would it make a difference? If that is my line, my compass, my definition.
No, it's not a compass.
Crap.
It's a question.
I don't know.
I mean, we do a lot of things. We've exposed a lot of things. We've seen a lot of things exposed.
And we're going to continue
to do that. We haven't seen any justice. We haven't seen any, not that we should operate on the, because we haven't seen justice, we shouldn't continue to move forward. But it gets a little old when you continue to see these atrocities being committed and nobody ever being held responsible for it and no changes ever being made.
You're right. You're right. So, and it pisses me off. And if you're offended by that, fine. It makes me angry that nothing gets done. It makes me angry that Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress and was never prosecuted. It makes me angry that you've got these people from the Center for Medical Progress being persecuted and prosecuted for exposing murderous crimes of people like Gatter, people like Planned Parenthood, entities like Planned Parenthood, and never, they don't, Planned Parenthood, instead of funding the border wall there, Congress is going to fund Planned Parenthood, by the way, which is part of that whole budget issue. Ryan doesn't have the cojones, doesn't have the stones, doesn't have the intestinal fortitude, the guts, the moral compass to defund Planned Parenthood. He's sold out. Does it matter? You know what? It's going to matter because we are going to talk and talk and talk and scream and say, look, I don't care if it matters or not. I don't care who the hell is listening. I don't care, but this is our job. We have to expose evil, and I'm going to die doing it. And to you people, not you, our audience, but to you losers out there who sit in your sweatpants or sit on your rocking chair in your porch and knit a sweater or knit a quilt or just, talk to yourself and say, well, that's so horrible what he's saying. He's a bad Christian. Well, you know what? You can all go straight to wherever because I don't care because we have to go out there. We have to say, look, what we do matters. It matters to God. The results are not up to us. The results are up to God. The effort is within our control. And that, I will conclude my final statement with that.
All right. We have a few minutes before the break. Brandon House will be joining us after we come back from the break. I don't know if you saw this. This was an article in the Daily Caller. It was kind of interesting. New biography, Young Obama Considered Gayness. You heard me right. There's a biography by David Garrow, rising star of the making of Barack Obama. And apparently, President Barack Obama considered being homosexual as a young man, according to this forthcoming biography. Again, rising star of the making of Barack Obama by David Garrow is set to come out on May 9th. Garrow wrote a Pulitzer Prize-winning biography of Martin Luther King Jr. in the past and is a regular contributor to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And this article goes out to give a scenario. One of the chapters in the book is about Obama's time at Occidental College. And they talk about a relationship that Obama had. Obama was 18 years old, apparently, according to this. In the relationship he had with an openly gay assistant professor named Lawrence Golden. And they go on and put quotes in here from what Obama says. Golden made a huge impact on Barry Obama, Garrow writes. Almost a quarter century later, asked about his understanding of gay issues, Obama enthusiastically said, "My favorite professor, my first year in college, was one of the first openly gay people that I knew. He was a terrific guy with whom Obama developed a relationship and friendship beyond the classroom." Now, the article goes on to go through in more detail the history in the past there. But it gets to a point where it points out something Obama said, that when he was remembering his gay professor friend. It says 3 years later, Obama wrote somewhat elusively to his first intimate girlfriend that he had thought about and considered being gay, but ultimately had decided that a same-sex relationship would be less challenging and demanding than developing one with the opposite sex, Garrow wrote. Eric's laughing. And it's funny, too. Think about it. I don't know. Who can sit there, you know, I'll be gay, maybe. No, I don't think I'm going to be gay because it's not as challenging, so I'm going to go and have a relationship with a woman instead. That does not sound right.
There's a video floating around of a Muslim, of an Arab, but apparently by the dress and by, apparently this individual is Muslim, making out with a mannequin. So, you know, the reason what does that have to do with anything? I figure, okay, you got 31 different pronouns in New York City for, you know, gender identity. You've got, people, you've got, cultures and people making out with inanimate objects. Does it matter?
Well, I think it definitely matters considering, so many people in their speculation and belief that the former president, had homosexual tendencies, and even the speculation of the relationships with the number of people in the church choir to Larry Sinclair and his stories about the back of the
room. You know, by the way, so many people said Larry Sinclair is dead. I don't think he is. We had Larry Sinclair on the show a couple of years ago. I don't think he's dead. I have not contacted or tried to contact him.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll be right back with Brandon House after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Review boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden.
exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest this segment is going to be Brandon House from WeekendWorldview.com. We'll get to him here shortly. I want to bring you a quick word from Greenovative and Alan Riggs over at Greenovative. He tells us that the response from the Hagman and Hagman audience has been fantastic, and he has extended an offer. The new GMAG Complete Pack, complete with the Barter Pack, are a big hit with our audience, and we have negotiated with Alan Riggs for a way to say thank you by offering a short-term discount from now until midnight on May 1st. There is a 15% store-wide discount on all Greenovative products that make power anytime, anywhere, in any weather, day or night. They come with the accessories to meet nearly any need during an emergency and are EMP-proof. The discount code is Hagman for 15% off everything, store-wide discount, 15% off, discount code Hagman. And again, they're featuring the new G-Mag Complete Pack, complete with the Barter Pack. Those are the biggest hits with the Hagman and Hagman audience. I want to say thank you to Alan Riggs and to Greenovative for their wonderful product. Brandon House is going to be joining us shortly. We're still trying to connect with him.
He's on.
No, right. Not yet.
All right.
There's other news today that we didn't get to in the first segment. The White House unveiled Trump's plan for the tax cuts, and there's some interesting stuff in here about what they're going to be doing. They're taking the tax brackets from a 7-tier system down to a 3-tier system. They're cutting back corporate taxes and capital gains taxes, and the goal is for a complete tax overhaul. And there were top economic advisors involved in this, as well as the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. And what they're doing is they're calling for a slashing of the federal income tax rate to 15% for corporations, small businesses, and partnerships of all sizes. And they are cutting the individual tax brackets if this plan gets through the way it is right now. Now, we know that the left and the right are going to pick at this. They're going to want to make some changes. I do see some resistance will be put on here. But will we see a comprehensive and smart tax plan, which not only will help small businesses but also individuals in the long run? With that, we have Brandon House with us. Mr. House, it's great to have you back on the show.
Well, it's great to be back with you guys. I am sorry I'm dressed so informally, but...
Were we golfing?
No, heavens no. Getting ready for our biggest conference of the year this weekend, packing for that.
Cool. That's good. That's good. Folks, Brandon House, Worldview Weekend, I mean, they do a tremendous conference. They reach so many people. In fact, in our program description, go right directly to his website and check it out. Are you still taking registration for that?
Yeah, they can still register at wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks. We're almost full, but we still have some seats. I'll be speaking along with Sharam Hadian, Mark Hitchcock, Ron Rhodes. I mean, we got about 8 or 9 speakers. It's going to be quite the 3-day conference. Starts Friday night, all day Saturday, half day Sunday at Lake of the Ozarks in central Missouri area.
Right. Right. Fantastic. Okay. And be sure, folks, that's another great source of information, inspiration, to get you up to speed on things. Brandon House, always a crowd pleaser.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry. I don't think I've ever appeared on a program without a suit coat, and certainly not in a ball cap. But to be honest with you, I was running around and I lost track of time.
Yeah, that's all right. It actually makes us look classy, which is... Thanks. Anyway, okay, Brandon, update us on this maggot that suspect.
Hey, you know, it is what it is.
All right. In a nutshell, and most listeners know that this mope was this Muslim mope went into your conference, made some incendiary statements. The law enforcement refused to charge him. He was armed, two weapons inside, multiple weapons in the car. Made incendiary statements about be afraid, be terrified. Mocked. You were mocked. The situation was mocked by the progressive fascists out there. And bottom line is, ultimately, he was arrested. But a couple of things that really struck me looking at the prosecutorial documentation is the fact one of the things that police report, having observed this guy was driving erratically at a high rate of speed before even entering the conference, which suggests a lot of things, in my view.
Yeah, well, you're right. That was in the paper, that the screenshot of the police report that came out yesterday, that they spotted him driving in. He pulled into the building next door. They thought he was acting suspiciously. Then he pulls out and he was driving toward the Hilton Garden Inn, the report said, at a high rate of speed, acting suspiciously, the report said. That seems to me to be probable cause. Hey, I'm not a cop, I'm not a lawyer, but I've talked to them, and they've told me, hey, that would be probable cause right there, the suspicion that's necessary to ask him, hey, what are you doing? Maybe even make a traffic stop and say, hey, why are you driving so erratically or at a high speed on this street into this hotel? If they would have done that, guess what? He's wearing a shirt that says, I'm American, I'm Muslim, I'm armed, you know, I'm only a threat to people who are stupid. Then they could have asked him, are you caring? They would have found reportedly what was a gun on his waist and an ankle holster. Yeah. Then they could have walked him over to his car, and from everything we're learning, they could have just veered right into the car and seen he had more weapons. Then they could have started checking to see if those were registered. I mean, they could have done a lot. You know, the thing is, the city and the police department, were told by the police department when it originally happened, are the ones that gave the Islamic group the permit to protest outside our event. Hey, that's fine. It's a free country. We're in favor of freedom of speech and protesters like that. That's fine. We had no issue with that. But once the city gave the permit, and again, the police department talked to us about it and said, hey, here's who's filed for the permits to protest. Once they did that, we understood they were legally responsible to maintain law and order and keep anybody from coming in the building that wasn't supposed to be there. So if by their own police reporting, now it's in the media, screenshots of those reports, they saw him driving acting suspiciously, driving erratically, according to the report, at a high speed into the hotel, then why did they not stop him? Was he allowed to come into the building? Could this have been another one of those situations where someone does something, people are harmed, maybe worse, and later comes out, ooh, they could have stopped him, but law enforcement didn't respond fast enough? Now, again, I try not to be hard on the police, but I think what this is about, guys, is a lack of the right mindset with today's police departments, particularly in towns the size of Sioux Falls, and they're not, I don't think, getting the training. They have a pre-9/11 mentality. They don't seem to know who are this Islamic Center. What's the Islamic Center's ties to the North American Islamic Trust? How is the North American Islamic Trust tied to Muslim Brotherhood, tied to Hamas? They don't realize what they're doing. They acted as though they were patrolling for a 4th of July parade, I think. Well, it wasn't a 4th of July parade. And again, what if he had done something and we found out later, oh, wow, they actually saw him acting odd, acting suspicious, driving erratically, and could have stopped him and they did nothing. I think it's a failure. But now we find out that he gets according to the reports of the newspaper that we put on our Facebook page at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. Again, we've been tracking all this, facebook.com/worldviewweekend. That's our Facebook page, and they can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @WVWonline, just @WVWonline. We found out from the press reports that for terroristic threats against our group and us, he gets bail at $2,500. Now, the reports say the bail was originally supposed to be at $102 for that. We're being told now by Sharam, who just talked to the police department, that was never true. He was just told by the police department today that they have the warrant. The warrant always stated bail $2,500. Now, let me ask you guys, do you think, again, if some, quote, Christian guy, and a Christian wouldn't, a real Christian wouldn't do that, but let's say some, quote, Christian guy, a militia guy or somebody, makes a threat at a Muslim conference, do you fit like this, do you think he would have gotten $2,500 bail for terrorist threats? You know, funny thing is, I looked it up. It's really not funny, but I looked it up. Justin Bieber, a few years ago, I guess according to the news reports I read, was street rod, you know, driving, you know, street rod at drag racing or something, and DUI, and Justin Bieber gets $2,500 bail. Okay, I can understand that. But, you know, you start trying to compare. By the way, I also found news reports in Sioux Falls where some guy was being unkind to a puppy. Now, I'm all for dogs, but the guy was being unkind to a puppy, and he gets arrested. I mean, what is going on?
You know what, Brandon? Bail is predicated or determined by a number of factors. In a criminal case, ties to the community, flight risk, gravity of the offense, and a number of other things. I get that. But what it's turned out to be is set by precedent of other court systems in court systems in that venue. $2,500 is equivalent to an ROR, recognizance bond, and is ridiculously laughable. And it's not even, this is worse than ROR. This is a slap in your face.
Exactly. And so what do you think? I mean, you're an expert. You come from this background. What do you think this message is sent? What message does this send about someone threatening a Christian or conservative conference? What message does this send?
My personal opinion, if I am a Muslim, I can go over and slap a Jew, slap a Christian, slap an atheist, and get away with it with virtual impunity. And, however, if I'm a conservative Christian, Jew, or any, variation of all of that, the worst punishment legally is reserved for me.
And what do you think the chances are that some group person gives someone else money and this dude makes his bail if he hasn't already?
Bingo. Thanks for pointing. You got a year's worth of rice-a-roni on your way out.
And do you think they will alert us when his bail has been made?
No. Why should they?
Because I'm understanding from a phone call that has just happened and we have not been alerted.
Sure. Of course not. Why would they do that? You know, exactly. It's just like a someone with a restraining order, and then the person violates that, goes to jail. The SOP would be notify the victim.
I think that's the only time they do that is with the restraining orders.
That's what I thought too. But when you look at the different cases across the country, cases like this, especially those involving weapons of late, involve notification of the victim or intended victims. It's gross.
Well, you know, I said in my radio program today, what is the value of the life of a Christian? What's the value of the life of a Christian? I think we now know approximately 500 people in the room, bail 2,500, divide that by 500 people. The life of a Christian now, I guess, is valued at about $5, guys. Our life as Christians or conservatives is now valued at about $5. Why am I starting to feel like history's repeating itself? And a group of people now, oh, and by the way, the paper keeps talking about our anti-Islam group, our anti-Islam meeting. It was a Christian biblical worldview conference. People were bringing their Bibles. We were looking at one of the six dominant world religions that happens to be Islam. That is one of the six dominant worldview religions. And we were looking at it through the lens of the scripture. I know the guys in Sioux Falls, a lot of these guys aren't educated. I mean, they're educated beyond their intelligence if they're educated at all. So they clearly don't understand. Ezekiel chapter 38 talks about a lot of Marxist and Muslim nations. So we can talk about Islam through the lens of the Bible. I know they probably don't know a lot about these topics, but just because we're talking about it doesn't mean it's an anti-Islam group. We were looking at it through the lens of the Bible. But again, I guess if you're holding a Christian biblical worldview weekend, now you're the problem, because the paper went on to say that this all happened at a controversial event. It wasn't a controversial event. It was a group of Christians meeting at a conference put on by a Christian author, myself, who hosts a Christian radio show, and these people chose to come as they have in past years. But I also had another guy today on my program at worldviewradio.com And guys, we were talking about the fact that what if this is a test? And if it wasn't a test, maybe it turned out to be a test. Does it not show now how easy it is to penetrate Christian groups, conservative groups, churches? And my wife asked me, Brandon, why do you think God allowed this to happen to us? And the answer I came back with is, perhaps God allowed this to happen to our group because we have friends like Hagman and Hagman. We can get on their airwaves and reach millions of people. We can reach out to Jim Simpson at the Daily Caller or Leo Holman at WorldNet Daily. We have 35-plus huge stations, some of them 50, 100,000-watt stations carrying my program. We have 175,000 people on our email list. We have over 17,000 on Facebook. And so when you add up all of the friends that we're able to reach out to, we made this an international story. Maybe God allowed this to happen to give a warning to conservatives and Christians in America. You need to learn how to protect yourself, protect your own families, your own meetings, your own churches, because unfortunately, not all, but most of even our law enforcement have a pre-9/11 mindset. They do not know who these groups are. They don't understand their worldview. They don't know that they're tied, many of them, to front groups that are terrorist organizations. And so maybe God was being merciful to allow it to happen to my group so we could then use it to warn conservatives and Christians about what's coming. Because I believe, guys, God is judging America per the description in Romans 1. And I believe the instrument in part for God's judgment on our nation are going to be the Muslims. And I believe God allowed Donald Trump to be elected for two reasons. One, to give us some time and some protection. But two, I said the day after his election, and it was transcribed into an article on my website, the day after his election, I said God allowed Trump to win to give protection to Christian radio, conservative radio, to churches, to Christians, to families. But if God's judging America, he doesn't just change his mind after one election. He's not schizophrenic. Can God be giving us grace and mercy while he also judges the nation? And I think the answer is yes. And I said, protection for us by having this leader keep up the airwaves open, the pulpit free, but also he will draw out our enemies. And I said, watch as Iran, Russia, North Korea, the Marxists, the Muslims become more agitated. The Black Lives Matter crowd, the white privilege crowd, they become more agitated and they become more hostile and egregious in their actions. So I said, maybe God is using Donald Trump to protect us while he's also using as a hook in the mouth of our enemies of America to draw out our enemies to come against us as part of our judgment. I think they're both happening.
Yeah, there's no mutual exclusivity there. I do agree with you on that. It's interesting how there could be multiple layers of reasons, multiple purposes, as you pointed out. And I think, Brandon, if you look at the current landscape, you said something that I just want to go back to. If you look at the current landscape, you said something that Christians, conservatives, political and moral conservatives, and Christians, and Christian conservatives, in my view, have targets on their backs. We see this not just with you, although yours wrote a pretty stunning series of events, but we see this with Ann Coulter, of course. We see this with Sean Hannity. We see this to a lesser extent, given the weight of evidence, with Bill O'Reilly. But the bottom line here is the progressive fascists, the true fascists, the progressive left, in conjunction with the Islamic element, the in my view, the Council on American Islamic Relations being the epicenter, and the North American all of the variations of
North American Islamic Trust.
Yeah, exactly. All of those variations, they're teaming up along with pseudo conservatives, people who say they're conservatives, but they're furthest thing from them. They're teaming up in order to silence and shut us up. That's what's taking place today, and they're doing it by multiple means and methods. Yours being one, and perhaps the most egregious, and that being, you know, a gun essentially in the literal face of the conservative Christian and the Christian movement. So I think that there's a huge, this, you're part of this. This is so huge. People need to understand, in my view, how big this is.
And you know what this is? This is the documentation we're now uncovering in the last 24 hours, that there are groups that are specifically now being organized. I think it's called Jetpack. It's a group of people that are being deliberately organized now to get more Muslims into elected office at the lower level, a local government, where it's called Jetpack Inc. And you ought to look into that. I can come back and do a whole briefing for you on that if you'd like. But we're now finding that there is a group that is deliberately about electing Muslims to office in local communities. I'm talking city councils, mayors, the like. This is where you sometimes have as low as 15-20% voter turnout, because people think, you know, it's not Congress, it's not the governorship, it's not a U.S. senator. So 15-20% turnout for your local city council, mayor, local offices. Well, they're going for those. Well, who do you think controls the schools, the school boards? Who do you think controls the police department, the mayor and the city council? So what do you think is going to increasingly happen as Americans are asleep and not paying attention to who their local officials are that control their police departments? You see what a mess they've made of this in Sioux Falls. What if they were all run by a dominantly or a good chunk of Muslims actually in the local government? We got a mess now, and they're not even running the government. They just seem to be pressuring the government, and along with the liberal media. That's my opinion. But what if you actually had the Muslims running things locally? And some of these radicals there are the really your Hamas people wearing ties. So the American people had better wake up. You know, another thing we talked about today too, guys, is it's so easy to have access to our group, even though we had security. And yet many of our police are not taking this as seriously because they haven't had the training. They don't realize who they're dealing with, as I said. So they don't have the right mindset to realize, wait a minute, this is a target, and so we've got to be vigilant. But think about you're going to a NBA game or a college basketball game. How fortified are those big events? Remember 2 years ago in Paris where they tried to penetrate the soccer game and ended up detonating their suicide vests outside? How long is it before they are able, with a group of Islamic radicals working with MS-13, and that's now going on, by the way, who, by the way, I'm getting reports from people in key places, interception has been made recently of semi-trucks loaded with military hardware. That's what they're catching. A lot of these mosques, we're being told, are armories. Remember, France went in and shut down some over 100 mosques, and they were, and according to the news reports, shocked at the military armament they were finding in these mosques. We have reports that's going on here in America. Some of the walls of these mosques are 3 feet concrete thick. What if you have MS-13, as we're being told, working with some of these radical Muslim groups, terrorist groups, and they decide to roll out 100-150 people on their little squad into a city downtown where you have a concert going on or a sports event? Are the police ready? Are they geared up? Have they been trained? Do they have the equipment? Do they have the mindset? Or were they going to get in? And when they get in, are you then looking at...
Looks like we have a little hiccup in the feed, which seems to happen. There we go.
Vince Arnold, because you can't be there. And you see, don't condemn anyone. Fear comes, so you must be vigilant and learn from what happened to us.
Brandon, I don't know if you can hear us. We're going to have to reconnect.
We only have about 3 minutes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Minutes. Wow. He was mentioning, you know, the infiltration inside of local municipalities and whatnot. Well, just this month, there was the first Delaware State Senate was opened for the first time by an imam leading a Muslim prayer against infidels in the Delaware State Senate.
You talk about a bunch of ignorant buffoons.
Mm-hmm.
Really? How else do you explain that? Come into my house and curse me, essentially curse me. What a bunch of buffoons. These are the same people who accept that, have the coexist bumper stickers on their cars, and don't want to hear, I don't want to hear anything. Okay, we got Brandon back. Brandon.
No.
Oh, no, we don't. All right, but these are the same kind of
buffoons. And we talked about
buffoons.
The Muslim, the schools putting in, you know, Muslim prayer rooms and schools in Texas. It's just crazy. And we have Brandon back. Brandon, we only have a few minutes. And we were
sorry, parking.
We were just talking about the infiltration of Muslims in local communities. As you were saying, there was an imam who opened up the Delaware State Senate with a prayer against, the first Muslim prayer with a prayer against infidels inside this Delaware State Senate. So it's, I mean, it's happening.
Did you hear what I said about Beslan?
No. Repeat that.
We're talking about the sports events, sports arenas, sports facilities and activities and securing them. But remember what happened in Beslan in the former Soviet Union a few years ago, where the terrorists, the Muslim terrorists, went in there and they slaughtered all these school children. I've been talking about that on my radio show since 2007 and 2008. And many people believe that was a test for bringing that to America. And actually, there are experts who've written reports on it. I think it's called The Perfect Day. And for the Muslim, the Muslim extremists, the Muslim Islamic radicals, the perfect day. Because there are moderate Muslims, but there is no moderate Islam, I believe. But for the Islamicists that are following it to the letter of the Quran and the Hadiths, the perfect day, as it's been described, is where they would carry out an attack on multiple schools in one day. And now we have how many training grounds here in America that have been identified and reported on programs like Sean Hannity with a guy by the last name of Maurer, I think his name was, or Lauer or Maurer. I interviewed him on my program, I think the Christian Action Network or something. And we have all of these training grounds. Bill O'Reilly has reported on them. I have the videotape from that, the clip from that. You have all these grounds, and one of the reports is they were shooting up school buses as in their practicing. So what about our schools? Are we talking about one resource officer at our schools? And many of them are, by the way, not to, you know, the character of police and pick on police, but many of them are not in the best physical condition. So do they have the weapons? Are they in the physical condition to be able to handle and respond to multiple people trying to come in and take a school? Has the SWAT team practiced in those schools in the community? Have they literally run drills in the schools at night so they have the memory muscle, knowing what's going on, where we are, carrying it out in the actual building in real time and rehearsing? Have we done that? Because we know what the other side is doing. We look at Beslan. And if they were to carry that out to multiple schools in one day, that would be devastating for America.
Brandon, we reached we are out of time. I want to thank you again for joining us, and hopefully we'll get you back on here in the near future, and we'll continue to keep us updated on this situation.
Thanks for the update, brother.
Yeah,
thanks. Thanks for caring. We really appreciate you guys.
You stay safe out there.
Thank you.
And I will call you when he gets out. Just kidding.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.